This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Hehe Welongafe Lutheran Fihawa.
With me is Deaconess Pam Nielsen, who was recently at the dedication of the Wittenberg Project. And Pam, for our non-Lutheran listeners, what is the Wittenberg Project, and what is the importance of Wittenberg to us as Lutherans?
Oh, that's a great question. Wittenberg is a little town in northern Germany, in what was formerly East Germany, and it is the cradle of, the birthplace of, the Protestant Reformation, the Lutheran Reformation. It's where Martin Luther pounded the 95 Theses into the castle church door. It's where he lived. It's where he taught. And where the Reformation first began and spread out then across Germany, across Europe, across the world. So for Lutherans in particular, but anyone who is in the Protestant tradition, Wittenberg is seminal, pivotal, and it's still there. Luther's house, the two churches he preached in, the church he pounded the 95 Theses on, his buddy Melanchthon a few doors down. You go there and you instantly understand what it was like for him. It's about a mile from his house to the castle church, and you can just know that he tromped that back and forth all the time, daily, weekly, and you begin to get a sense and a feel for it. And then we got to worship in St. Mary's, also known as the Stadtkirche, the city church, and it's right in the center of historic Wittenberg. And Luther preached there over 2,000 times. And so while we were there, we had numerous worship services, both for the dedication of the Wittenberg Project and for International Theological Conference that kind of paired with that. So together we had world leaders from Lutheran church bodies that represented 23 million confessing Lutherans across the globe.
Wow.
All in Luther's church, singing A Mighty Fortress, confessing the creed, hearing the law and gospel preached every time. I'm weeping now. I pinched myself. Will this ever happen again? It was incredible.
I wonder if Luther could have envisioned what would happen 500 years later.
Yeah, I'm sure not. I mean, here we had the leaders from Japan and Madagascar, Ethiopia, which now is, you know, 7 million and growing. He could have, I don't think he did he even know that there was an Africa. I don't know. You know, Luther was at the time that Columbus was discovering the New World. So what he didn't know, I think he would be blown away to see. And where the church is growing today and where it isn't growing, too.
What exactly is the Wittenberg Project?
Well, the Wittenberg Project is a project of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to have a presence in Luther's Wittenberg, in Germany, in Europe, where the gospel has all but been snuffed out. Declining, declining, declining church membership, people who identify as a Christian. It really is becoming a darker place for the gospel. And in Luther's Wittenberg, 5%, only 5% of this town would identify themselves as Christian and church-going. So we said, wow, here the government and even that town, they cling to the history of Luther. They get that it's big. They've carefully preserved his home and the churches, and there's plaques. There's a statue of Luther. They get the tourist value. They get the historic value, but they don't get the gospel. They don't get the truth.
Could part of that be a holdover from the fact that this is in the former East Germany where atheism was officially promoted?
There's certainly that, where the church was pressed down. But I think it goes beyond, or even before that, back to the Prussian Union and the takeover. Because when you look at the Castle Church, and Reverend Harrison, President Harrison, can really explain that. But that church has like this, it looks like the German helmets of World War I on the top of the tower of the Castle Church. That was a Prussian add-on. It's during the time of Napoleon and that kind of thing. And that's when Enlightenment came in. We really lost the unique confession of what Luther discovered, the gospel, justification by grace alone. And there was a real blending by law, by the rulers of the land, to say that Protestants and Lutherans, they're just all the same. And that's where you got these state churches, and everything was blurred and kind of muddied. So then you have Catholics and you have the state churches. And still today, that exists in most of those Northern European countries, where they will count their citizens as being Lutheran. So in sort of an official world count of how many Lutherans there are, all the citizens of Germany, of Finland, of Sweden get counted. But in fact, 5% or less and declining. Actually, in most parts of Europe, 3% and declining. The Muslim faith, 5% and growing. So it is really a changing landscape. And so For the Missouri Synod, we said we need to come back with the gospel. We need to do it in a way that says to the people of Wittenberg and to Germany and to Europe, we're here for the long haul. We're really committed. So they discovered this old building. It was in horrible state of repair. And they didn't even know, the town didn't even know for sure who owned it or anything. It had kind of been abandoned. And it was the Latin school, the old Latin school, and that's how the people know it there. And it was built 37 years after Luther pounded on the doors of the Castle Church. So it goes back to that history. He's walked past it. He probably walked through it. Who knows? We bought it for a song with the help of Lutherans in Central Illinois, who said, we'll put up the money. For 10 years, we kind of like, well, what do we do with it? What would be a good, is it a museum? Is it a conference center? What would it be? Finally, the determination was that it should be a place to confess, to learn, and to be Lutheran, to help people study, to know more. So you might imagine a tour group on a Reformation tour coming to Wittenberg, and they might start there, and the house director would give them the history as we understand it as confessional Lutherans, and explain some of the differences between what's labeled Lutheran in Europe and what is and what isn't. Scholars, the plan is to have visiting scholars there to do research, but also to teach students. We're working with the Concordia University system so that our Lutheran University students could come there for credit, for classes. It actually has housing.
Yeah, a hostel there.
Yeah, kind of a hostel. And actually, my communications group, we were able to stay in it. And it's very nice. Very nice setup. Every room has a bathroom, two or three beds, depending on the size of the room. And there's a nice gathering room with a kitchen, tables, sofas, that kind of thing. And key to this, so studying and gathering, but there's a chapel on the first floor. And much care was put into designing this chapel, to building it. And the whole kind of underlying goal here is to bear witness to Christ, to plant a confessional Lutheran church in Luther's Wittenberg, because one does not exist. There are Lutheran churches, the castle, St. Mary's Church, but they would be part of that Prussian Union, and very liberal theologically, very ecumenical, kind of blurring the lines so that, oh, anybody can come, anyone can commune. So there is, at the heart of it, to confess and to bear Christ to a place where he's been all but hidden.
You were actually there and doing live commentary during the dedication over our live stream. Could you give our audience a little a bit of an idea? What happened that day? What did you see? What did you talk?
It was really incredible. We had about 450 people, Germans and Americans, who'd come over, people who'd supported it, church leaders, and these 140 or so international Lutheran leaders. So it was a very diverse crowd. We gathered starting about 2:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday afternoon, May 3rd, And we had a brass choir out inside the doors of the St. Mary's, the state church, just playing beautiful music of the Reformation and people streaming in. And you got to understand that this church is a tourist site. So while this is all going on, there are tour groups passing through. They're looking, they're wondering what's going on, poking their heads in. Then was the grand dedication service, and using the organ in that church, a choir that had prepared for this, instrumentalists, and Reverend Harrison preaching in the pulpit where Luther had, been. And that was itself incredible, singing hymns of the Reformation. So you've got 450 of us, and I just doubt that there's that many that worship there on a Sunday. It can certainly hold maybe 2,000, but who knows how many are there on a Sunday, 50, 100 maybe. So the church is full. People are singing, quite emotional. There was a processional, the processional cross, grand service. And then, and all the while, tourists poking their heads in, standing, watching, wondering what this all is, which is kind of interesting too. Then we processed out, and our building, the old Latin school, is literally right next to the St. Mary's Church in the center of historic Wittenberg. So it's a perfect location. If we're going to make our mark, it's perfect. We walk out the doors and around the back of St. Mary's and to the front doors of the Latin school. And here's all 450 people, the brass playing. And now we've got the governor of Saxony, who came with his two bodyguards, which this is he's a big deal in Germany. He's there. We've got representatives of the Lord Mayor's office. We've got representatives of the other church bodies. It's a big event. And of course, all of those World Lutheran leaders. We dedicate the building. We present some gifts to the local officials. And then about 60 people who were pre-selected, German and American, got to go inside the Latin school for the dedicating or consecrating of the altar, the pulpit, the font, the organ, those key pieces inside. Couldn't fit all 450, but we figured out that 60 could go. So that happened in a brief amount of time. They came back out, and then there was a German reception at the local community center. I was involved in planning that, and I still remember talking with the Germans about, well, what would this be? Because I'm thinking it's dinner time, mm-hmm. and we just have been singing and standing and processing, and I know Americans, we want a banquet. I mean, that's what we're looking for at that point. And they're saying reception, and I said, well, tell me, what's a reception when you say that here in Germany? Oh, well, we have soups and we have open-faced sandwiches and we have beer and we have wine and there's dessert and it's quite substantial. Oh, we can do this. That sounds great. So then there was a discussion of, can you stand? Or, well, do you sit or you stand? I said, will there be tables and we'll sit down? Oh, no. We stand at our receptions. We set standing tables. And I thought, I don't see this working for the American crowd.
The Yanks won't do that.
No. And so there was a bit of negotiating back and forth. So we kind of split the difference, and we had some standing and some sitting tables. And we had a musical group of period instrument people up on the stage. And then we thought, this is the place to do the speeches, not at the doors of the Latin school where you're standing on cobblestone streets and out in the open air. So we get everyone over there. They all get a cold beverage. And then, people who've been part of this have been recognized and thanked and that kind of thing. And then they just enjoyed what turned out to be an incredible spread of food prepared by a local caterer. Four or five different kinds of gourmet soups, really quite lovely and beautiful. Truly open-faced sandwiches on rye bread and wheat bread and German cold cuts and cheeses. And it was very, very nice. And a lot of energy and excitement and joy as all these people, we've had a vested interest in this. We've heard about it. We've worked on it, tried to make it possible. And this was the culmination of it. And So it was a grand day. And then it wasn't even over because that reception lasted about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Then there was a concert back at St. Mary's with a choir and period instruments singing music from the Reformation era. And that was exquisite. That was a gift by the Germans to the Wittenberg community. They put that together. The German church, our partner, the Zelk, and it was exquisite and a fine way to end a most glorious day.
Again, for our non-Lutheran listeners, music has a very special place in Lutheran history. In fact, Luther said outside of the gospel, that is God's greatest gift.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, music figured very largely in this. And the singing, you know, people were singing with all their might and it was really fun. Now, the night before, we tried a little something. We wanted to have an opportunity to say to the Wittenbergers, which is kind of how they, you know, that I guess that's okay to say, the Wittenbergers, would you like to get to know us? We're going to give you a community concert, a free concert. And, you know, maybe some of the listeners know about President Harrison and his love of banjos and banjo playing. And so he got this idea to let's bring a banjo group from America and have a little friendly concert. Well, you know, is anybody going to come? Do they even know what a banjo is? Do they care? Are they going to show up? 400 people. Over half of them were German local people. They came and they stayed and they laughed and they clapped and they enjoyed that fine evening of banjo music, and was a group that just got put together. President Harrison put the word out to a guy he knows that does this for a living, and there's another Lutheran pastor who's pretty good at the guitar. And then they said, we need a fiddle player. So they put that out on social media, and about 20 different people said, I can play fiddle. And they all sent in tapes. And the guy that they selected grew up Lutheran in the Missouri Synod. And he just spent the past 4 years playing for Mumford and Sons, which is a very popular group with a lot of the young kids like. And he's like, well, this sounds like fun. So he flew in from Nashville and played with these old guys. It was great. It was a great night, and they had a ball. And their kind of cool piece is A Mighty Fortress.
And so, without further ado, here's A Mighty Fortress, as you've never heard it before. A video performance of this on the LCMS Facebook page. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis. And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign as Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime, streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.